Watch who? Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to To Watch Who, a Doctor Who podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm a Doctor Who fan.
And I'm new to watching Who.
Watching for the very first time.
Very first time.
Recess is over. And we're back in court. We're still here. Sagacities and members of the council. Welcome back for the final two episodes of Trial of a Time Lord, which I think we've both watched this morning.
Yeah, we have. We're both in bed, actually. We both watched the first episode in bed. I messaged Mark going, just woke up, going to watch this in bed. And he went, I watched it in bed. Not together, but...
I was just going to say.
Oh, darling, shall we put on Trial of a Time Lord? Oh, yes.
I watched it on iPlayer, yeah.
Oh, check you out.
It's useful for that.
I'm getting the most of it because I've cancelled it now. Because obviously we paid for the year. But everything's now on BritBox, so I've got it till July, so I'm making the most of it.
I don't know what else is on there, actually.
Poirot,
great. It's worth it for that.
Many other things. It's not just Doctor Who and Poirot, but yeah, Poirot.
Let's talk about today's story. The last two episodes has to wrap up what has gone before. Some big revelations. Well, first off, you were right. You said last week you thought the Master might be in it.
I thought... that it was going to be the, oh, what's he called? The one that's supposed to be the Doctor as well.
Well, the Valyard.
The Valyard, right? I thought the Valyard was going to be the Master and he'd pull off his face. You know how he can do, like, mimic other people? I thought it was going to be that. So that was my interpretation. So I wasn't exactly right. I was right the Master would be involved, but in my head, it was going to be, he was the Valyard.
Oh, you thought it'd be fake Master?
Yes. As in, like, I thought he'd either take off his face or, you know how he's like, well, he has in the past, he's looked like other people, hasn't he? And then he's like, whoa, 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 and he's like, I'm the Master. So I thought it was going to be that.
Well, we had actual Master.
But we had actual Master. So good guess from me that he'd be involved, but it wasn't as I imagined, so.
Well, at least in these two episodes, everybody gets to, like, stand up and walk around a bit because that Inquisitor, she sat down... for, like...
But it's Linda Bellingham as well, isn't it?
It's Linda Bellingham, yeah.
Like, there's some great names in the show.
Yeah, well, she gets to actually walk a little bit. Not much, but she gets...
She walks, like, out the room and then back in.
She gets a bit of movement after all those weeks. So we meet the Keeper of the Matrix, and I know he's not in it that much, but he has been in Doctor Who before, and he played the security chief in the War Games. He was the one that kept going... The Warlord. Do you remember him?
I sort of remember that. You doing that rings a bell.
because here he's a bit like, I am the Keeper of the Matrix. That is, sort of. Anyway, he sounds a bit the same. I wasn't sure if you'd recognise that or not.
No.
But he's the Warlord guy. So that's the Keeper of the Matrix. They use the spaceship shot again. And we have Mel and Glitz.
Yeah.
Actually, as witnesses, which you think, doing a court thing, they've been watching on TV, they could have put in a couple of witnesses throughout all of this, couldn't they?
I guess the point was, though, because it's supposed to be his... the Matrix is supposed to be the truth. So if his argument is like, well, this isn't true, but the Matrix is always supposed to be exactly what happened. That is kind of their evidence and everything. It's their witness... So they need witnesses to prove that what is on screen isn't, but that isn't, that never happens. Their argument is this is always accurate and correct. It's their witness, it's their prosecutor, it's everything, isn't it?
Okay, yeah, no, I get that, yeah, okay. Well, well explained. Thank you for your evidence.
Thank you.
And then we get the Master.
Rests.
We get the Master turning up, and he just drops just casually.
Just on screen. He's just on screen. It's quite a nice little, like, he could have been anywhere filming this, really.
You said you were sent here, Savalon Glitz. By whom?
By me, madam.
Oh, no, now I really am finished.
For me... The Master being there, it didn't fit for me, the Master's involvement.
It seems like a bit of a random addition, because you've already got the Valyard, who is pretty much like a Master character.
It's just a way to shoehorn in the Master, But, like, I don't believe that the master would summon the doctor because he's like, that's you, or like, summon witnesses to help the doctor. It just didn't flow for me.
But is that supposed to be because the Valiard is so bad, the master's sort of jealous of that and doesn't want somebody else as equal to him?
So he says, he does say, like, you're easy to, even though he never has, you're easy to beat, but you without your good stuff is really hard. And I kind of get that, but because he never works with the doctor, he sort of like opens up like, well, I'm going to present this. And I wish if he'd have said that at the start, that would have been more clear, like the intentions of it. But like, I was, is he just trying to, like, is he just using that as a ploy and he wants these books? I couldn't understand what he was trying to, like.
Well, he's stirring it all up, really, isn't he?
Yeah, but for, I'm going to bring these people in and you've got to sort that. And I want you to try and beat him, but I'm going to mess around with things. I don't know. I always love when we have a master, but of late, when we've had the master in, it's been more for, I don't know, I can't think of the word.
Just like secondary. He's not like the main
story.
It's not his story. It's never his story. It's always, yeah, I see what you mean. Well, he does drop in and say that the Valiard is the doctor. He just casually mentions that. Were you expecting anything like that?
No, no. That was, like I say, I thought the master was going to be the Valiard, so it was a complete surprise.
So that's a big thing to say that the Valiard is a future doctor. 12 and 13.
He's a future doctor, but he's not the doctor because he's all the doctors.
He's like a halfway. So he's in between Peter Capaldi and Jodie Whittaker if something went wrong and there's like this extra Valiard has come out there. Which was a big thing, I suppose, to add to, like, we haven't had anything like that. To say this is a future, you know, it's supposed to be towards the end of his life, but we've got more doctors since then. They've worked that, they've, because there used to be only, what was it, 13 doctors, that was the limit, and now Matt Smith's,
I will ask, I mean, I kind of want to know, but I think it's going to come up. I'm guessing in the future it's addressed how they make him have more lives.
Yeah, that's a Matt Smith episode. Yeah,
I'll find out in the future, but I am intrigued how they do that. I mean, this is the thing, at this point in time, and we are watching this in order and through, no one's thinking, well, what happens when they get to 13?
I know, but they've only got to 6. They're like, nobody. Everyone's like, that's not my problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't know why they did the limit. Oh, I think, because there's a few times where it's come up, because there was that fifth Doctor one ages ago with Mordrin, where they were going to use up his remaining lives, and they mentioned a number there. I don't know if it was literally for that story they've mentioned that number, because it hasn't been mentioned that many times.
I feel like it's kind of to give some form of mortality, because it's great to reincarnate, but if we have the sense of, but we have a finality to this, that kind of gives a deeper sense of urgency, danger, whatever you want to call it. Like, you can't just run into things if you're always going to live forever and ever, and that's that.
So we have a few answers to all that missing info that we had in the first story with the secrets of the Matrix and all of that, and why Earth was moved. So it's all the Time Lords done it, basically.
Cover up. It's cover up.
You sort of have to keep track of it, don't you? It's not easy to follow.
I didn't follow it.
No. Yeah, I was watching it, I was thinking, you're not following this. I wasn't really following it that much.
There's, like, the main story, and as long as I can follow the rough thread of a story, fine. The greater detail of it, I'd say 60 to 70% of the time, I've no idea what's going on. But as long as I can follow the story enough, that's fine. I feel like if you were to watch it again, because I already know the story, I can pay more attention to the other detail.
This one is more sort of atmosphere. It's that sort of weird, you know, like we've had like the Mind Robber and the Deadly Assassin where he went into the Matrix and it was the track and his foot got stuck in the train track.
That white one, the one in the white void.
Yeah, the Mind Robber one.
Yeah.
It's all that kind of stuff where it's more atmosphere because you know it's not real. They know it's not real. So can they actually get hurt or not? Is there any point in it?
Well, do you know what? I was thinking about this. We used to talk about whether a story was past, future or sideways. They were our three, and we've not done that in ages because things are sort of a bit more blurred, I guess, now as we move forward. But if we were to define this, it's a sideways.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Which I like, and we haven't really had, because we haven't had that, all that sort of Victorian stuff in the factory and everything, it's nice to see this Doctor have a story a bit like that, because he's not had anything like that before. I love the first cliffhanger with all the hands coming up and through the through the beach and stuff. I mean, it's filmed like you've seen that. You could just see they've dug a hole and put a few hands through, like the wide shot.
I did think about it. I was like, how are those people lying down and their hands? Like, have we just dug some people underground in a box? And their hands I think through?
They've dug a hole, filled it with stuff. So the Colin Baker's laid down in it and they've covered it up. And then I think you've got people from the sides all lying on the floor with their hands sort of up through holes in tarpaulin and they've covered it up. So everyone's lying flat and he's the only one sort of sinking, I think. I mean, it's clever. But there is a wide shot which you can just see you can see where they've dug a hole and it's not like a big expanse. The ideas are great. And yeah, this last episode was finished off by somebody else. So it was Robert Holmes. They credited him for... Actually, I can't remember if they credited Pip and Joan Baker on the last one, but they wrote it. He didn't finish it. So it was somebody sort of cobbling it all together, like I said last week. So, but a lot of it is just, oh, this isn't real. You know, then the Doctor comes up out of the ground and then the Valeyard's flashing around on the beach. Not like appearing, not flashing.
Yeah.
You know, and all that stuff. Flashing. And it can feel a little bit padding, but because it's done in an interesting way, I suppose it's acceptable.
I didn't feel that there was much padding. I felt that they were trying to fit a lot in too.
I just mean that it's a bit of a run around.
Yeah, I think it's to show that the universe is not coherent.
Well, because they're in this matrix, anything can happen. Exactly, so it's like...
Yeah. So it's nothing... And also, I guess it gave power that it's his, you know, he has the control. Everything felt of use because it moved so quickly and there were so many things that they needed to deal with and do. I didn't feel like, if anything, it moved too quickly. It was a lot.
You rarely say that. I like the bit with the fake trial that Mel's watching.
Yeah, I like that. Out.
That's clever. What do you think of Mel in this? Because she's still very...
Actually, this one, she knew me a bit more than the last one. But again, in more of like a, she felt a bit over the top way.
I'm wondering if she filmed this first, if they did all the trial stuff first, so this would have been her first stuff, and then she went and filmed all the other stuff. Yeah. Because it feels like this is her first go at it, and it is very, it's more over the top than last week.
Yeah, it was. Like, it felt, I say cartoony with love, but it felt cartoony.
It is, isn't it?
But it didn't feel like that in the previous one. It felt like energy and like, she was involved. I don't know. Maybe also it's just the nature of the story.
No, I just think some of her lines in the court were a bit... all of that kind of stuff. Just every line was sort of pause, pose, say your line, you know, wait for the other person. I don't know. It was very theatrical. It was very stage-like. Yeah, I noticed that more than last week. I do love Mel, but yeah, this isn't her best story,
This one felt very different to last week.
And we also do find out about Perry.
Hey, she's off living with Brian Blessed. She's a queen with Brian.
So the intention was, I think the actress, they wanted her to be killed off and they weren't going to do this mention. But this was written in extra because then the producer was like, oh, the kids get upset or there's going to be complaint. We don't want to kill her off. So they just added that in. So she didn't realise. She was like watching it and she was like, I didn't know I was married to her. I thought I was killed off. I suppose it's good that she wasn't killed off because it would have been a really gruesome end for Perry if that was the last we saw of her. But is it actually in her character to marry King Eukarnos and go off with him? Would she have really done that?
I remember thinking that was a girl that was off to do a botany degree.
Exactly.
I did think that. But like...
But you weren't convinced she was killed.
I wasn't convinced she was killed. I quite... In a way, I agree it doesn't fit, but I also enjoyed that there was that king that was like, my queen! Like, I don't know, it's sort of like... Of all the people that have tried to claim Perry as their queen or wife, like, at least it was him.
But I don't know, it's sad as well because the last time the Doctor and Perry were together, if you go back in the story, was just before he was being really horrible to her, whether, well, we don't know what was real or not, but they didn't really spend that much time together. They got separated, and he gave them away and was a traitor, and then she ran off. And that's the last that Perry sees of him.
For me, it just didn't answer any questions. Like, it didn't answer any of the questions that we've had about that story or previous
story. It would have been nice if she'd come back as a witness and prove that she was alive, and there would be some... I mean...
It's weird that the Time Lord didn't even know she was alive. The,
Inquisitor.
Yeah, Linda.
Linda.
Linda didn't even know she... Like, they didn't even know she was alive. Because they're just, they're going off what's on the Matrix. And, like, so...
Well, the Master told her.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're just talking about Perry and stuff. So, obviously, there's been many expanded versions of all different things for that. So Perry has had so many different random like endings after what happened, so I'm just going to mention a few of them. So there's many audios. So there's an audio, and spoilers everyone if you haven't heard the audios. So there's an audio called The Widow's Assassin,
right?
So that is the Doctor later on going to find Perry on her planet to go to her wedding to the King. The King like dies quite early on. And when Perry sees the Doctor, she locks him up for 5 years. Basically, what happened there was she was actually still possessed. So apparently what happened when the Doctor's mind thing happened, in that something came out of his mind, some like evil thing from his earlier past, got into Crozier's machine, then got into Perry when the brain thing happened. So it was this evil thing. And then that, and then Perry possessed, poisoned the King and killed him.
Oh, gosh. No wonder she married him then.
Yeah, so they're very locked up the Doctor.
Ulterior motives.
She rules as the Queen, locks the Doctor up for 5 years. Finally, it gets sorted out, basically. So then an older Perry, normal Perry, then they go off and they've had various... They carry on travelling together later on as an older Perry. And that's still ongoing in the audios. There's an amazing... narrated story by Nicola Bryant, and this one's called Perry and the Piscon Paradox,
right?
Which is brilliant. It's two episodes of younger Perry and the Fifth Doctor, and then two episodes of an older Perry. And in this, I'm really like paraphrasing as much as possible. So the Time Lords wipe Perry's memory. And did like a Jamie
Perry's
and Zoe.
Memory is a
Perry's
a song
memory.
Yeah, yeah.
They did like a Jamie and Zoe, and were like, all of this stuff with the trial, we'll take her out, wipe her memory, put her back on Earth. So younger Perry meets older Perry, and this older Perry has no idea what happened. This Perry that grew up without travelling with the Doctor got married, got abused by her husband, and she had to have like plastic surgery and stuff. Then she became a relationship counsellor, and then she, in LA, she became a talk show host. And it was her show is Dr. Perry Brown, Warrior Queen. So there's sort of all these different shards, like different versions of Perry that are all out there because the Time Lords messed everything up so much.
Right.
So
that's so what a nice fun
twist. I mean, I think in
and
the comics,
and she's an American talk show host because of her accent still. So
yeah. She's like in LA, and she said like yeah. I think in the books or in the comics, Perry takes Yukarnos back to America and becomes his, sets him up as a professional wrestler and becomes his manager.
That makes sense.
I think that happens at some point. And also the Blu-ray trailer, which I showed you, which was filmed in Cardiff in the Temple of... Have you been in there? You know, just along past the...
Temple of Peace?
Temple of Peace, yeah.
I've been in the Temple of Peace, yeah.
Yeah, it's filmed.
I didn't recognise it. It's been a while since I've been in the Temple of Peace, but yeah.
So that takes off. That's, again, after the King has died, she's been this warrior queen, and then that was nice for her to act that.
Yeah.
To do that. So Perry has had many other lives since Mind Warp, so it's not really the end. It's not that gruesome ending. There's so many different versions. But, you know, it's odd that she left halfway through a season.
I genuinely thought we'd see her again. So that was a surprise, like you say, that like it's just that ending. I thought there'd be some sort of like... I didn't believe she died. It felt just too sudden and quick and like, I don't know. I thought that there'd be some sort of like... Even if it was like some sort of like a crossover of time, and they sort of briefly meet to have a moment and they can say goodbye. That didn't happen. So it's a bit weird that it's like, and that's done.
Yeah, well, I suppose if they intended her to die, to have that shock, yeah, there's not that closure. Yeah. There's no closure for it, especially that relationship, which probably needed closure. So it's still, I still feel sorry for Perry, even though she's had all these other... I think there's like five different Perrys out there with different lives. Some she had kids with Vikarnos, some she didn't, and she like ran away from him, tried to get back onto her. All the books, everyone's tried to give her a different sort of ending and different things.
Yeah, I kind of get that.
So there's plenty of mileage out of Perry. So that's Perry done. Goodbye, Perry.
We talked about Mel.
We talked about the cliffhanger.
We talked
Mel.
About the Master.
Yes. Yeah, I've just seen what else. The Master's TARDIS is cool. I liked seeing the inside of that. That was good. Glitz. Good to see Glitz again. I mean, out of all the characters we've had, he's been sort of one of the most memorable, I would say.
Yeah. He had a good...
Like, when you think of, like, supporting characters for this season.
Yeah.
And then it all just sort of blows... It's all just, like, the Valar wants to blow up through the Matrix. Mel gets her 1980s computer reference in where she opens that cupboard and she goes, it's a megabyte modem, which probably sounded very futuristic in the 1980s.
Yeah, and then they just... You know, they ask him to be president again, classic, and then they leave.
You know, I think I was rash in turning down that offer of the presidency.
Oh, carrot juice.
And that's it. Yeah, it's just a bit of a weird climax. And also, for me, it's all that sort of twee. Sure, we can't convince you to be president again. No, but I think you could. Oh, we better go. Okay. Off we go. On your carrot juice. Oh, no. It's just that last, like, 3-4 minutes is so twee.
Well, we do have that ending with the Valiard is still out there.
Oh, yeah. And then that, like, he even does a weird laugh again, like, the sort of, like, panto reveal.
But the original ending was that the Doctor and the Valiard would just be stuck in the Matrix together. It all sort of blown up and they were both there and it would end with a cliffhanger of unknown. But the producer was like, because they had the cancellation already, he didn't want to give the BBC an excuse to be like, well, okay, you can just finish it there then. So he wanted to wrap it up with a nice ending. Would that be the last season?
A really open end like that would have meant they were more likely to have, I don't know, maybe not.
He didn't want, anyway, that was the original how it was going to be, but he didn't like that, and so they did change it. So maybe it would have been a bit better with that, a bit more dramatic. It did feel like a bit of a finale, two episodes with, like, cramming everything in.
You know, it worked, it had its moments, it did what it needed to do. It moves at such a pace. There's a lot they're trying to cram in. They're going back and forth between the Master's weird B storyline. The Master has two storylines in this. He's like part of like trying to sort that out with the Doctor and get his own things. He's got like two storylines. The Doctor, it's all a bit, there's a lot.
Well, the Inquisitor has more audio adventures, you'd be pleased to know, Linda Bellion. So that Gallifrey series, we know where Romana's president. She's great. So you've got a series where you've got both Romanas, Leela, two canines, and you've got like the Inquisitor as well. It's like Dynasty Gallifrey. It's absolutely amazing. She's called Darkle, apparently. They give her a name. But Romana's president, and Darkle's sort of like the opposition, so she turns into a bit of a baddie.
Okay.
So she's always against Romana and like bitching about Romana and stuff.
Very Dynasty.
And because Romana's opening Gallifrey up to like other species to come and like study and stuff, and Darkle's like, we shouldn't let them in, well, we should keep it as a Time Lord, right? So she's completely different to how she's in the trial. You don't get any hint of that in the trial, but she's a proper like bitch in the Gallifrey series. She's brilliant. That's fun. There's also another audio called The Trial of the Valiard.
Oh, right.
Where we've got the Valiard, the Inquisitor, and the Doctor back on the space station. The Doctor's brought there, and obviously the Valiard is on trial for breaking into the Matrix and stuff.
Yeah,
the
Doctor, as he
should. The Doctor reluctantly defends him for whatever reason. Anyway.
Well, it's him, isn't it? He's defending himself.
Cut a long story short, the Valiard tells all this story about that he was created from experiments from the 13th Doctor and all this stuff, and they go and meet a supposed 13th Doctor. Anyway, it's a whole, again, it's another trap to get revenge on the Inquisitor and the Doctor, and there's a massive bomb at the end. That's Trial of a Valiard. And there's another audio as well. So they did these audios of, like, what if? So this one is, what if the Valiard had won?
Oh.
So it's a Valiard and his companion going off, and basically he's going back through the Doctor's adventures and sort of changing stuff. So they go back and they see the Vervoids one on the ship. So the Valiard Doctor and his companion, they don't help, and the Vervoids, like, kill everybody because he doesn't come up with the solution and stuff. So there's loads, like, he goes back and meets the Silurian, all that kind of stuff. So he's going back, like, doing, like, loads of bad things and getting weapons from people and stuff. And then Mel is with the Time Lords trying to, like, she's like gun space bitch left on her right anyway, and then trying to, like, stop the Doctor, trying to kill him. It's got a bit of a weird ending where I haven't heard it for ages, where basically the Valiard and Mel are stuck in the TARDIS for all eternity together. It all goes wrong and they're just stuck. And that's it, and it's just ends grimly there.
Giving him carrot juice constantly and getting him on the bike, and he'll be like, no!
Yeah. So, loads of stuff has come out of this story. So, do you think overall this season it was a good idea to do one story, the trial, or would you have just preferred to have our usual individual?
I think it was, to begin with, I didn't feel it, but actually, having got through it, I did enjoy it. Like, it did feel different. It's always nice when something different happens. It also opened up for, like, introducing new companions in a different way. And so, like, the future stuff and things that, you know, we like, the other dimension, not past or future, but the sideways. And so, you know, so for all that, it was, I'm glad of it, but it wasn't easy. I think that's my overall summary.
It probably wasn't as successful as they hoped it would be. And there was definitely, I think, all the script stuff behind the scenes didn't help. But yeah, it probably needed a bit more time to be worked out and planned a bit more and merged in a bit in terms of the character stuff. Yeah, it's okay. It's all right.
I think that is a fair... It's okay, it's all right. It's a fair assumption.
What's your favourite story out of the four?
The one before.
The Vervoids.
Yeah. It just had the best pace. It had the best flow.
And we've got Mel now.
And we've got Mel.
So funny. So funny. Are you looking forward to more Mel then? Do you hope she tones
it's
down
weird,
a bit?
Because at this point, the way she's introduced, I can't imagine there being more Mel. Like, as in, she feels like, because she's in the future, but they almost had to bring her to the trial to get her into the story. Do you know what I mean? So, like, it feels like she's probably not going to be there, but she is. You're right, she's the companion now. I'm just intrigued what goes next. I guess I'm going to put out this now. I feel like we're coming to the end of Colin Baker soon. Do I mean Colin Baker?
You do.
I do. At a moment, then I was like, it's not Tom Baker, it's Colin Baker. Yeah, I feel. I don't know. What? You know when you start getting a sense that this person's time is nearing? And I thought it was going to be the end of this, actually. I thought it was because, like, it was all about lives and I was watching. I thought, oh, I wonder if, like, part of the sacrifice is he regenerates himself. And that didn't happen. And it's got me thinking, I don't know when, but I feel like his time is coming soon. And you sort of, you just get it. He's so settled in the character, in, like, the character's not what he was.
Okay, well, I'm not going to say anything.
No, but I'm putting that out there. I put my thoughts into the universe. I said the Master was coming back and he did. I said Perry wouldn't be dead and she wasn't. I think the Doctor's time.
I think you know what's coming. I think you know what's happening.
I feel like, I could be wrong, and I'm really making a statement here. I feel like it could happen mid-season. I don't feel like we're going to have a whole season of this Doctor. But I could be wrong.
I can't reply.
No idea. But yeah, you sort of get a sense. And actually, if he had regenerated, I think that would have been cool. Rather than that really twee ending that we had. And I think that's why I feel that. I was like, oh, I feel like we sort of missed the trick because we talk so much about their lives. And normally when they're talking about their lives, it's because they're going to regenerate soon.
It felt a bit like that second Doctor one where he was on trial with the, and they sent him off to change his face.
Yeah.
He had that speech. It was very similar.
We've had these before. And so it could just be that. It could just be because I'm linking it to that. Maybe we're going to have a whole other season or two seasons with this Doctor. I don't know. But maybe it's like you say, because we've had trial before and he's had to change, and we're talking about the number of regenerations. Normally when those conversations come up, it's because they're coming to an end.
We'll find out soon. I mean, it's gone so quick this season. I feel like we've only just started it. Like, definitely the shortest season we've done.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it's 3.5, really.
Oh, I suppose, yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
It's 4, but it feels more like 3.5.
And then so now it's another Doskers.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a short Doskers. I think maximum 2 nominations per category.
Yeah, I think we're going to struggle with this.
And we need to decide.
Getting nominees, never mind.
It depends. I think maybe not the monster then.
And just well, the what did people say? Did we have any opinions?
It was 50-50.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, cool.
Well, where can you find us, Mark?
Oh, okay, that's it. Wow, it's all
I think that is it, isn't it?
It's all over, just like the end of Trial of a Time Lord, right? Let's just go and have our carrot juice then.
Oh my.
Everything's just it's all just
Maybe you could be president, or maybe you. Mark, where can you find us?
You can find us at Two Watch Who on Twitter and Instagram, or buy me a, and you can support us at buymeacoffee.com/2WatchWho. Well, let's have our carrot juice and go then.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
See you soon.
Two Watch Who.